Righty, righty. So the maybe not. Righty, righty. So we're reading from Swasankalpa Prakasha Stotram, where Raghunath Das Goswami is revealing his aspirations. It's from Stavavli. And this verse 1, he's saying, he's giving conditions. If you want to enter the ocean of love, Krishna Prem Sindhu, the ocean of Krishna's love, which he's calling Shamras, he said you can only enter that ocean by the mercy of Radha, by the mercy of Vrindavan, by the mercy of devotees, satsang. So there, and he's putting it in a very poetic way. Anaradya Radha, Padambuja Renam, Anashritya Vrindavana Tivim, Tat Padankam, Asambhashya Tat Bhava Gambira Chitan, Kuta Shama Sindhu Rasasya Vagaha Avaga Avagaha, like Agaman. How can you enter Kuta? How can you enter the Sham Sindhu, the ocean of love of Krishna, Krishna Prem Sagar, unless you worship Radharani's lotus feet? He says you have to worship Aradhya, the lotus feet of Radha. And then what does he say? Not only the lotus feet, but the dust. He says, must worship the dust of Radha's feet. So where do you find the dust of Radha's feet? Not in America or Europe or Russia, but in Vrindavan, especially where she frequents the most, where Radharani is going, spending the most time. The most footprints are there, where she's wandering, walking. Rasalila, Radhakund, 6 hours in Radhakund every day, 6 hours in Vrindavan, Rasalila. Banks of the Yamuna. So that's where the dust is. That's Vrindavan, Rajaraj, the dust of Vrindavan. And Radharani's Padambhoja Rainam is there. So he says, he's saying without Radha, there's no Krishna. Without Vrindavan, there's no Krishna. Without the mercy of Gambira Chitta Chitan Sadhus, there's no chance to get love of Godhead. So it's, although people say the kingdom of God is within you, Krishna is within you, God is within you, it's a fact, Paramatma, super soul. But then, but to get within you, you have to surrender to someone without you. Someone outside of you, you have to surrender to them. And oftentimes, sometimes people preach, or gurus are preached, oh, you don't need a guru, God is within you. You just look within, you meditate, you realize you're God, or your God is in you, you'll see God, or see that you're God. But we see that in the line of bhakti, at least, Krishna bhakti, that everywhere it's just depending on outside factors. Our success depends on outside factors. Whereas yoga, you get trained by a teacher, outside factor. But then you do your own practice, alone, meditating alone, doing asana, pranayama, and then dharana, dhyanam, jivanusmriti, samadhi, finally samadhi. And then you have your revelations, experiences, self-realization, alone. But here in bhakti he's saying that come to Vrindavan, take shelter Vrindavan, because Radha's padanka, her footprints are there. And then we should bhava gambira. We should meet with the Bhava Bhaktas. Not so easy. Where are they? No one's hanging a sign in front of them. I'm a Bhava Bhakta. It's a deep hearts. Bhava Gambira Chittan. Chitta means a mind. Chit, the consciousness, the heart. Gambira, like Lord Chaitanya was in the Gambira in Jagannath Puri in the house of Kashi Mishra. The Gambira, when you go there today in Jagannath Puri to Gambira, it's near the main temple of Jagannath. And they show where Lord Chaitanya lived for 18 years. He lived there. 6 years he traveled India. And he had so many amazing ecstasies there and experiences of Krishna and crying and separation, extraordinary experiences that are written about. So when you go there, you see some room on the level of the floor. But Gambhira actually means basement. It means deep. Gambhira means in the, like Garbha. Garbha. Garbha is the name for the womb. The lady's womb was called Garbha. It's a cave, a secret, a dark place, private place. So his room was underground. He was staying there, like in a cave. Many sadhus, they stay in caves. The Himalayas, inside the mountain, or in Braj, they dig a hole in the ground, and they have caves, or they have basements, underground rooms, whatever. So here, this Vrindavan, he's saying that we have to meet with those devotees whose hearts are very deep, bhava gambira chittan, they're deep in bhava. And then by hearing from them and serving them and by living in Vrindavan and falling in the dust of Radharani's feet, and no, even if you can't see Radharani's footprints visible in the dust of Vrindavan, it's saying anashritya brindatavim tatpadankam. Anyway, take shelter of Vrindavan, because there Radharani's footprints are there. Just like we know in Shastra, every day Radharani comes to Radhakund around 11 o'clock in the morning. And then around 12:30 she goes to Shamakund, walks down the steps of Manasapavan Ghat. It's a bathing place called Ghat. And then she bathes. And then she walks up the steps and changes her clothes. So Radha's footprints are there. They're all over the place. Every day she's going there. And maybe once or twice a day someone's sweeping and cleaning. But still Radharani's footprints are there. The kunkum from her breast may have fallen off, or the sandalwood or red coloring on the bottom of Radharani's feet. So we have that's in the Shastra. So now we take shelter. We go there, put our head in that dust. We go to Sevakunj, or in front of Rupa Goswami's Samadhi, Radha Damodara Mandir, in Vrindavan. And we put our head there. Because we have faith that this dust has power. There is power in this dust. And then we hanker to hear from those great devotees who have love for Krishna. So oftentimes they're hiding. You don't hear much from them. But in Kartik, then they often come out and speak. It's like in the winter time in Europe, you don't hear the birds. They're hiding somewhere. They've gone south. It's very quiet in winter time. But then spring comes and so much sound. Spring is alive with vibration, growth, sound, birds chirping, and the spirit. So this great saints, sometimes they're fully alive with sound, but sometimes for many months they're quiet. Then a Kartik is like spring for Harikatha. Then the Harikatha springs out of their mouths. During Kartik they speak. So many devotees like that. In Kartik there's 4 or 5 classes going on here in Bengali. So this is when they speak, and when these advanced devotees speak, then if we can be lucky to hear that or be there, then we'll get so much mercy and so many blessings, which will promote us towards the goal of Krishna's love. And there's a very nice explanation here. So he starts off his prayer by identifying his Ishtadev, because Raghunath Das Goswami is a Mandri of Radharani, Tulsi Mandri, an intimate maidservant of Radharani. So he's going to offer all these prayers, Sankalpa Prakasha, because he's going to go to different sakis and ask them to teach him. I mean, teach her in his sakhi sarup, mandri sarup, teach her how to become expert in different services for the pleasure and happiness of Radharani, and of course Krishna together, especially Radharani. So he begins first thing by saying, "My Radharani lives in Vrindavan, and I worship the dust of her feet, and you can find the dust of her feet by taking shelter of Vrindavan. And when you come to Vrindavan, you'll find the footprints of Radharani. And then you can put your head there and pray there. And then you'll meet great saints in Vrindavan that only talk about Radha and Krishna. And they only think about Radha and Krishna. And they only pray to Radha and Krishna. And they only sing the glories of Radha and Krishna. So you may hear something from them, sambhashya. Sambhashya means Bhashya means language. You may converse and talk with him. So he's saying Kuta, how can you enter the ocean of Shamras without taking shelter in Vrindavan, without the footprints of Radharani, without worshipping her feet, without the mercy of the devotees? That's basically what the first verse says. Tara Bhakta Sangha Sada Rasalila Prema Kata Je Kore Se Pai Ganasham Ihate Vimukha Je Tara Kabu Siddhi Noi Nahi Shuni Yeno Tara Nam. Translation is Bengali. Anyone who associates with Radha's devotees and always discusses Radha's loving pastimes with her devotees will surely attain Ganasham, which means Krishna. But whoever is against this will never attain perfection, and I don't want to hear his name. So then a very nice point here Srila Anantadas Pandit is making in his commentary. Anyone who wants to be blessed with the taste, the relish of the great ocean of sweetness of Sri Shamsundar should worship Radharani, take shelter of Brajadam, and associate with the great Rasik Vaishnavas. These three things are compulsory. This is the path of Raghunuga Bhakti, which is a great gift of Mahaprabhu, and which was practiced and preached by the six Goswamis, headed by Rupa Sanatana and, of course, Raghunath Das. So that's a very nice keys to success. Three keys to success. As many people come to Vrindavan, they live here, but they don't worship Radharani. Or they come here and they worship Radharani, but they don't hear from the advanced devotees. They just sit in their room and chant and read books. But he's emphasizing here to hear and associate with the great Rasik devotees. At least try. Sri Radha Padam Voja Renu Seva Vine Radha Padanka Braja Ashraya Vihane. Well, this is a Bengali poem which summarizes the same verse in Bengali. Because all these are Sanskrit books. So some great poets and writers have translated them into Bengali so they could understand in their local language, like we have it in English. Otherwise, how are we speaking? So for them, what I'm reading now, for them, is like they understand it all because it's Bengali. But it's the same meaning as this verse. Sri Radha Padamboja Renu Seva Bine Radha Padankita Braja Yashraya Vihane Sri Radhara Bhave Magana Sada Jara Chitta Tara Sange Jai Janaho Yache Vanchita Shringara Rasaraj Agada Sindute Se Kemone Pare Volo Tahate Dubite. That's the same thing. without the seva, the dust of the lotus feet of Sri Radha, and without taking shelter of Braja Shraya, the shelter of Braj and Radha's footprints, Parankita, then you will not enter the, and without Sri Radhara Bhavam Bhagne Sadat, you have to always become immersed in the Bhav of Sri Radha. And should always desire to associate Janasangha, to associate with the great devotees. Any questions on this one?
Where to find them?
Where to find? Well, at least we're reading from these books and we're hearing the words of the Rasik Vaishnavas. Because it's told, in absence, if we don't have the... Because even to be looking at this book or hearing from this book or reading or touching this book is also a stroke of fortune. It's a great blessing that you and I can sit here and read and hear this book. Because these writings and teachings of Raghunath Das Goswami are certainly they come under the category of what he's saying here of Gambira Sambhasya. Sambhasya Bhava Gambira Chitan. The Bhava Gambira Chitan. They're definitely, these topics are deep. Bhava Gambira. They're very, this Sambhasya, these words in this language of this book are Gambira. They're Gambira, full of deep prema. Bhava Gambira. Deep with feelings and love. So if we just read his book, that's another way of associating with the Rasik Vaishnava. It's another way of associating with the great devotee of the Lord by reading the books of the Acharyas in Vrindavan and rolling in the dust of Vrindavan, taking shelter of Radharani's footprints. This is the way. And then if we're really fortunate, we get to meet directly and hear directly, maybe serve or even take diksha from or whatever. That's high fortune. We can directly meet the very advanced devotees and they're speaking to us about Radharani and glorifying Radharani and Vrindavan, her service. That is a very great fortune. And that we it's all causeless. It's mercy. Mercy is causeless. There's not, I do this and I do that. I came to Vrindavan. I have my visa. I have 1 year visa. I have money. I'm living here. Now the mercy will come. Yes, it will come, but that maybe slowly if you're only living in Vrindavan. But if you're living in Vrindavan and going to the Leela Stalis and praying to Radharani and praying for her mercy and worshipping Radharani and visiting her pastime places and putting your head in the dust there and praying to the Brajarenu, Radha Padam Bojarenu, the dust of Sri Radha's beautiful lotus feet, more quickly you'll get the mercy. Because it comes in from three directions. It comes from Braja Shraya, Brajavasa Shraya, taking shelter of living in Braj. And it comes from hearing and serving the advanced Vaishnavas from Vrindavan. Then it comes from worshipping Radharani and her footprints in the dust of Vrindavan. So these three rivers are coming from three directions if we do all three. So unfortunately, we see many devotees come from the West and they just park themselves in some apartment and they don't associate with advanced devotees. They don't even look. Even if they may hear, they don't, I don't want to hear. I don't want to go. So they're not so fortunate. So I'll go. Should I read more? Yeah. So this is verse number 2, because the first verse of most prayers is about. Yeah. Is about establishing who are these prayers about? Who is the object of all these prayers? There's 10 or 12 prayers in this particular stotram. Swa Sankalpa Prakasha Stotram. So first he identifies it's Radha and Vrindavan and Krishna's love. The goal is Shamras, Shamras Sindhu, the ocean of Krishna Prem. And then the means to that and the way to attain that is by worshipping Radha, Radha and Govinda together in Vrindavan and taking shelter of the dust of Vrindavan, which means a very humble, developing a very humble, submissive, surrendered attitude and lifestyle and way of thinking, feeling, and associating and serving the great devotees. So now, because he said he wants to learn all these services, so now each verse he will go to a different sakhi to learn something. So first he goes to Radharani, because she's Kalavati Radha. Kalavati, Kala means arts. Arts, dance, music, singing, music, dance, cooking, and acting, and drama, and puppets, and any kind of art, coloring, dyeing cloth, or dyeing jewels, or science of medicine, the science of taking care of animals, animal husbandry, and teaching birds to speak, and doing magic with your hands, and doing magic and making things disappear. All these are different arts and talents. And Radharani is an unlimited ocean, Kalavati Radha. So she is the whole repository of all the arts are with her. And she's empowered and given some expertise in these arts to different sakhis and mantris. So here, Tulsi Mandri, showing how it will go, because Tulsi Mandri is an eternally Nitya Parishad, eternal associate of Radharani. So she already knows all so many arts from beginningless time. But it's showing that a sadhana siddha, a devotee who becomes perfect siddha and goes to the spiritual world and gets his siddha sarup, his spiritual body as a mandri, then he has to receive some training. He will go this way through school. Like they say, oh, what is education? Your older brother, your uncle, first he went to grammar school, then he went to high school, then he went to college. There's a system. You go here and learn this, and go there and learn this, and go here and learn this. And then you start in the work field. So the mandris, when they take birth in Boma Vrindavan, the sadhanas to the mandris, they will go this way of education, this path of education, learning the Kala Vidya, Shiksha. They'll get instructions on the knowledge of different arts. So here he goes to Radharani. First, Raghunath Das is going to Radharani, and Radharani will teach him how to write poetry, how to write plays, the different lines. The heroine says this, the hero says this, the setting, the emotions, and the music, and the scenes, and action and a plot, how to write plays, how to write riddles, and how to play the veena. A veena is like a stringed instrument, like a guitar or something. Two big gourds and very beautiful, like sitar type thing. So that's he'll learn four things from Radharani: poetry, plays, riddles, and veena playing. Navam divyam kavyam, swakritam atulam natakakulam, prahele gudharta, saki ruchira vina dvanigati, kada sneho laser lalita prerana valat, salajam gandharva sarasam asakrich chikshayatimam. Chikshati mam. Navam divyam kavyam. Oh, dear friend, Rupa Mandri, when will Gandharva Radhika, on the instigation of lovely Lalita, Prerna, same as Hindi, Prerna, the inspiration On the inspiration of lovely Lalita, Radharani will shyly, joyfully, tastefully, and affectionately teach me new divine poems, different kinds of self-made plays, which means you write yourself, riddles with very deep meaning, and an enchanting playing of the veena. Over and over, Srimati Radharani will teach me again and again these subjects of Divya Kavya, divine poetry, Natakulam. That's a very nice phrase he's saying. Navam Divyam Kavyam. He says poetry which is fresh, new, and divine. Then Atulam Nataka Kulam. So Kulam means family or group. All incomparable plays, different types of natak plays, will be taught by Radharani. Prahali. Prahali means gudartha. Prahali means you write something, it's a riddle, has a secret meaning inside it. You say a phrase, but no one knows what it really means. There's a hidden meaning inside. Like, sometimes the bull is attainable by the mountain. The bull is attainable by the mountain. So Radharani, when she's going out in the morning to ultimately meet Krishna, she's going out to do Surya Puja and pick flowers, and then she uses that as an excuse, and then she comes to Radhakund. But on her way out, some Brahmins in Barsana, they're announcing auspicious, they're making predictions for the day, like Jyotishis, and they're announcing, proclaiming different statements. So Radharani heard this phrase, a bull is attainable by the mountain. And so she thought, oh, Krishna's, that means I will meet Krishna by Govardhan. Because Krishna's like a bull, he's very stubborn. And Govardhan is the mountain of Govardhan. So she took it to mean something, I don't know, something like that, you know, as a riddle, it means something else. Or you say, or like sometimes they have riddles, I can't remember, but in Govinda Lilamrita, Radha and Krishna, they speak riddles back and forth. And then someone will say, Krishna will say, who is someone who, when they become angry, their lips curl like this, and their eyebrow goes up, and then they start, and they become very hot-headed. Who is this? It's like some riddle. And then Radharani says, Lalita. And then Krishna says, yes, Lalita. So they have, like, they do these things. So Radharani will teach this. And then it's described so nicely how Radharani teaches. Salajam Gandharva Sarasam Asrak. It says that Radharani will shyly teach me with taste, with ras, with laja, with shyness. Gandharva means Radharani. Gandharva, he's calling Radharani Gandharva because Gandharvas are celestial beings like angels, devas, and they're very expert in song and dance and arts. So she's Gandharvika. So Gandharva Radha will teach me, but she'll be very shy when she teaches me, and very tastefully, and she'll repeatedly taste. And then shyly, joyfully, with tastefully and affectionately. Oh, yeah. It says, Sneha Ulas Ulase. So this is a very nice qualities of a teacher. He's describing that how the teacher is shy, salajam, means humble, not proud. Although the teacher has all the knowledge, the teacher is not proud. Gandharva, Sneha means affection. And Ulas means joy. In other words, the teacher is very happy about the subject they're teaching. And they're very, very affectionately, caringly teaching me and helping me. So this is reveals some of the qualities of Radharani. Radha Sneha, Radha Ulas, Radharani, Radha Laja, and Radharani Ras. So Sneha, Ulas, Laja, and Saras. Ras means tastefully. Tastefully teaches me. That's a very rare teacher, to find a teacher with all those qualities. Those qualities. Plus they're expert in the science or knowledge or art that they're conveying or teaching us.
Can you repeat them one more time, please? These qualities, can you repeat them one
more time? Yeah, qualities. Because Raghunath Das Goswami is describing that, Rupa Manjari, when will Lalita very kindly take me to Radharani, because Lalita is the main Sakhi, and inspire Radharani. She'll inspire, Radharani, she's a nice new Manjari, Navadasi. You should teach her Veena playing. You should teach her how to write poetry, and ultimately for her or for Krishna's pleasure, and how to make riddles for the pleasure of Radha Krishna, how to play Veena, like for the Rasa dance or for Krishna, Radha, and how to write plays, poetry, plays, riddles, and Veena playing. So then Raghunath Das is saying that how will Radharani teach me? Radharani will teach me Salajam. Laja means very shyly. I don't really know this well. You know this better than me, but let me try to show you. And a very shy kind of approach, a humble approach. And then Sneha means very affectionately. Then he's saying Ras Saras. Ras, which means tastefully, very tastefully and nicely and patiently. Then it says Asatkrich Chiksha, says again and again, Radharani will be very patient and affectionate. No, you play the Veena like this, Sa Re Ga Ma Da, like this. And she will repeatedly teach me the lesson until I've mastered it and learned it. And all the time while Radharani's teaching me how to play Veena, or how to write plays, or how to make riddles, or how to write poems, she will always show her affection. And she will always be very humble about her whole presentation. No false prestige or no, just a humble giver of wisdom. And even from the highest quarter of kingdom of prema, of Radha Krishna prema, we find Radharani as Salajam. She's a Gandharva, Salajam Gandharva Sarasam. But she's teaching her Navadasis or Navamandris step by step how to serve her ultimately by writing poems and plays and poems and riddles and playing Veena. So this is a very nice qualities of a teacher. Shyness, joy, and ulas. It says, Sneha, ulas, laja, and saras. Ulas means joy. Very excitedly and joyfully teaching, and affectionately and tastefully. I was thinking about this quality of humility and shyness, as Salaja. I went to one program where one Brahmin godbrother of mine, he was doing some bandara to feed Brijbasis. So he has a Purohit, he has a Tirth Guru who lives here. This Bengali Brahmin is from Bengal. But there's one Brijbasi that knows Bengali, and mostly the Purohits and the Pandits are all Brijbasis, but they speak Bengali and Hindi and all these English. So that's his priest, his Radhakund priest. So through him he organized it. His name is Mr. Sharma. So what he wanted to do, although usually the people feed brahmanas and they feed babajis or widows, so he wanted to feed all the harijans. Harijan means the street sweepers, the people that sweep the streets, and the garbage men, you know, the sweep out, clean to open sewers, they clean the sewers. It's very, very humble service. So he made a program there. So he invited Gurudev to go and bless the people with his darshan and just go there and see. And so I was there, and so Gurudev said, let's go. So they got a rickshaw, and I went with Gurudev and this other devotee. The three of us went to this other location, to the Brahmin's house, and then out on the street, he has a very nice, quiet street. They served all the harijans. Nice, halava, puri, sabji, and they all got donation. So when I went there, first my Gurudev, you know, he's 97, I'll be 98 soon. He went and he met this Purohit, this Brijvasi Purohit. The Purohit, the Brahmin, who was about 50 years old or so, maybe 45. He said, oh, you know, Baba pronounced on the bus. And he was just standing like, and my Gurudev paid obeisances at his feet, bowed to his feet. And this Panda, he's a Radhakun Panda, Brijvasi, but he's not a pundit. You know, he's a Brahmin. He's a good devotee. But this, my Gurudev is a pundit, and he has a degree, so many degrees and Sanskrit grammar and Vaishnav Darshan and Siddhanta and Vyakara and all these things. So he's like, and he's also a Brahmin, but because he's not Brijbasi, he's a Bengali, he shows the utmost respect and regard for the Brijbasis. And I was thinking, he's one of the oldest, Baba Gurudev, he's one of the oldest devotees, living Babas in all of Braj. Very few people. And I asked him, I said, where are all your friends? And I'd like to meet them and ask them to tell me about you. He said, they're all gone. They're all gone. So then all the people came outside to assemble for the food, prasad, Brijvasi feast. And this Brahmin was, and his wife, they were cooking also. I was very impressed. They had some professional Brahmin cooks, but they were also themselves cooking. And he's a big, big person. I was amazed at that. And then, that Brahmin, he accompanied Gurudev outside to see the Harijans, the Brijvasi lower class people, sitting down for the prasad, and some Brahmins were serving them and other devotees. So my Gurudev went there and he paid obeisances. He went out on the street and he paid obeisances to them in different directions. And he prayed, folded his hands and he prayed to them all, please bless me. And they said, Jai Baba, Radhe Radhe. And I was watching this, I was thinking, what an amazing, genuine display of humility. So I can see when you associate with devotees of a higher caliber than yourself, you can, so many vibrations come inside of you. It's like vibration of bhakti, humility and respect and all divine qualities that are in the body of the pure devotee. They're radiating, they're emanating just from his physical being, what we call physical being, the form of the guru, Sri Guru Rup. So I see how much, what great value, even tangible and intangible value there is. There's such great value to associating with very advanced devotees. So that is what we are told here. So we can read in some of the commentary here. So here's a very beautiful class. Can you imagine going to the school of Radharani? Say, who's your teacher? Oh, Srimati Radharani. Acha, where's the school? Oh, the school is in Govardhan. Acha, yeah, I go to school in Govardhan. Where do you go? Oh, I go on a Giri Kundara. I go on a cave in Govardhan. Acha.
Who's a teacher? Radharani. Oh, how do you get in that school? You have to have prema. You have to have prema and you have to make application. And Guru accepts you, then blesses you and promotes you. And then you go there to the spiritual world and can enroll in Radharani's school. Radharani's art school. It's not a, not science. It's liberal arts college. She's not teaching science and not teaching computer science and technology. She's teaching art, poetry, plays, riddles, and playing the veena. So he's saying that Lalita affectionately takes Tulsi Mundri by the hand and brings her to Radha. How lovely and how merciful Lalita is. How eager Lalita is to make the kinkaris, that means the mandris, maidservants, qualified for the service of Radha and Krishna, Yugal Seva, even if they themselves don't desire it. How deprived the sadhakas are of the mercy of these sakis when they forget about their sarup and become absorbed in bodily consciousness and desires for profit, adoration, distinction, day and night. So he's just saying that if a sadhaka has received his siddha sarup or spiritual form from Guru or is somehow revealed, then he should always think of that and identify with that as his reality, as his real eternal siddha sarup. Sarup means my own form of perfection, my divine spiritual form. But usually we're too busy worrying about eating and making money and getting some profit. Lita is the embodiment of compassion. Lita takes Tulsi by the hand and brings her to Radha's feet. She says, listen, Radhe, this Mandri, Tulsi or Navadasi or whomever, is so eager to render Yugal service to you. Please make her qualified for serving you in all respects by teaching her your and chanting poetry, plays, songs, riddles, and the veena. Sri Radha is bashfulness personified. Lajamurti. Swayam Lajamurti. So when she hears Lalita's words, she becomes a little shy and says, Tulsi, that's the Mandri, would you like to read with me? Will you come every day and read with me every day from now on as a rule? So now that Radharani's accepted Tulsi to be her student, she said, come every day. So then Swamini Radha teaches Tulsi poetry. Navam Divyam Kavyam. It's fresh, it's new poetry, and it's divine. New transcendental poetry. It's a nice point that Tika is telling. Ever fresh transcendental poetry cannot be found anywhere outside of Braj. Sri Vrindavan is the Nikunja forest of all kinds of arts and poetry. Krishna is called Raso Vaisaha. He is made of ras. He is Savarasaha. All, nothing but taste and ras. Everything that Krishna does and everything about Krishna is tasty and flavorful. His body is dripping with ras and prem. That is very nice. So Swamini teaches Tulsi Mundri only transcendental poetry, only about herself. That's cool. And she teaches her over and over again. So, there's a nice explanation here about the Srimati Radharani teaches Tulsi Mundri all kinds of riddles. Inside these riddles are secrets about Radha and Madhava's erotic pastimes and nothing else. While in the forest or taking a picnic or sitting on the banks of Radhakund or during rasa dance. And then she teaches Radharani how to play, Radharani teaches Tulsi how to play the veena. They sit down together in a solitary grove, and Radharani takes the veena in her hand and seats the mandri very close to her. Radharani wears a veil over her head. How attentively she teaches her maidservant to play the veena. Very nice. So Radharani is very expertly playing the strings and training the mandri how to play. Meanwhile, Shyam Nagar, Krishna, secretly and quietly comes to that kunj and peeps. He peeps through the lattice windows to relish the sweetness of his Priyaji playing the veena. So Krishna looks in and Radharani's like this playing the veena, you know. He's like, oh. Because it's very, Krishna loves the veena and Radharani loves the flute. So they play together, duet, flute and veena. And then he can't resist himself. Every time Radharani plucks on a string, ding, dong, ding, 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 it actually, it moves the string of his heart. Krishna's heart strings become moved when Radharani's vibrating the strings of the veena. So he loses his composure and he can't hide himself outside anymore. And he enters the kunja. Then immediately Radharani stops playing the veena and she covers her head. She says, "What are you doing here?" And Shyam says, "Can't I even see a little? Can't you let me watch how you're teaching Tulsi to play the veena?" And Swamini says, "Tulsi, all right, Tulsi, now show Shyam how you learned to play the veena from me." So then, Tulsi Mandri, who has just learned from Radharani, she plays in such an astonishing way that both Radha and Krishna become enchanted by her virtuosity on the veena. Hearing Tulsi's veena playing, Yugal Kishore become inspired to make love with each other. Doesn't take much to inspire them. What a wonderful service Tulsi renders in this way. So then, seeing that it's time to exit, Tulsi Mandri leaves the kunja discreetly so the divine couple can enjoy their Yuga Vilas. And then from outside the kunja, Tulsi Mandri looks through the window and appreciates the beauty of their loving exchanges. So Radharani teaches all these beautiful things to her Mandris and her Navadasis. "Hey Saki Rupa Mandri, Sri Lalita Devi, Patabe Gandharva Pashe Mora Shikshalagi, Lajita Sri Radhika Ati Sneholase, Anurage Shikabe Nava Nava Rase. Swakrita Nirupama J Natakavali Abhinavakavya Yato Gurarta Praheli Shikabin Ramya Bina Varana Koshal Emon Sobhagya Mora Kobe Hobe Bolo." It's the Bengali version of it. "Radhika will be very shy, but nevertheless she will teach me all the new rasas with great love and joy. When will I be so fortunate that Radharani will teach me her incomparable self-made plays, new poems, intricate riddles, and lovely veena playing?" So that's verse 2 of Swa Sankalpa Prakasha Stotram.